power of our diplomacy. Diplomacy.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a really big deal.
The strength of our diplomacy.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
It does sound fun.
Six, five, four, I want to play this game so bad. One. Deadline.
So,
holy cow. Here we are, episode 37 of Diplomacy Cast, which is...
a podcast about the game Diplomacy.
Okay, good at this.
I know.
37 more and you're going to have this nailed. Episode 37 already. What has gotten into us?
I know, it's the summer.
37? I had a roommate who was obsessed with the number 37. Anytime anyone said anything 37, he'd be like, woohoo! So, Rob Hyrett, this one goes out to you.
All right.
Yeah.
That was honestly the most boring story you've ever told.
That's so difficult at this point to try and transcend that.
This week.
Yeah.
I'm Eric Mead, by the way.
No, he's not. Oh. I'm totally Eric Mead. That's Nathan Barnes.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you just joining us for the first time and decided to start at number 37, yeah.
Probably Rob Hyrett.
I see what you did there. Yeah. I see what you did there. Yeah. I like it.
You don't listen to any show until, for all I know. We're going to talk psychology.
Yeah, a little psychology.
Psychology.
Yeah.
Stuff.
We're gonna try something a little different, and it might be good, it might be bad.
Yeah.
We're kind of inspired by a study that came out this week about that we'll talk about.
Yep.
And high level, it just analyzed 259 or 256 games and all 145,000 pieces of correspondence and came to some conclusions.
Yeah. So if you want to read the article, because we're not going to read the whole dang thing on the show, if you want to read the article, already hanging out on the Facebook.
Yeah,
Nathan posted a link.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Go there and do that. We have...
it's short.
Facebook.com/diplomacycast.
That's true.
We have... diplomacycast@gmail.com, which, well, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the email, diplomacycast@gmail.com. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes and say nice things about us.
Say nice things.
Maybe eventually our show will be super popular.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the goal. That's when all the money comes.
Last but not least, the great Siobhan Nolan.
Yes.
San Franciscan feature. Well, San Jose and whatever she is.
Californian.
Siobhan, featured in your Grantland article that you may have enjoyed.
Oh,
reading,
yeah. She's in there.
By David Hill.
I think she was also in that episode I didn't listen to that...
Yes, also featured in an April Fool's episode.
Episode 34.
Also featured, pretending to be, I forget if it was you or me, in our April Fool's episode.
Oh, yes.
Immediately before that, or immediately after that or something, pretending to be one of us.
Yeah.
And you're saying in episode 34. Wow.
Yeah.
I think I just had a stroke a little bit. I'm okay.
All right, we're going to get to the episode now.
Okay, yes. Stay tuned. For stuff.
Hot off the press? Yeah, people don't use a press anymore.
Drop it like it's hot.
Oh, so if we just dropped it like it was hot?
We just dropped it like it was hot, you can do better than that. Drop it like it's hot. Off the press.
I'm not saying that.
Alright, cool. Hot off the press. Ha ha ha. Got it, because this came from the actual press. I got to get that in there.
That's definitely... This... is a great example of hot off the press.
Something that's on the press.
Yes.
Somewhere. Or an electronic press of some sort. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they...
And it probably wasn't very warm.
It comes to us from Pacific Standard Magazine, which I'm not going to lie, I've never heard of. But hey, if they're writing about diplomacy, they're writing about diplomacy.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
Nathan found this. Nathan would like to summarize this.
Basically, it was floating around out there. And I kind of did it in the intro, but the researchers were interested in determining, or if they could determine, just from the correspondence and the movements, the play in the game, whether someone who was going to betray or stab had any tells. If it was possible to predict, or if there was any markers of a person that was going to go ahead and stab. And basically what they found is two things. Stabbers tend to be nicer and during when they're right about to stab. So when people get nicer to you, you should become suspicious, which is what the article is.
Sure.
And the stabbies tend to at least... near proximity to the stab, they tend to increasingly be nice and talk about the future. They want to talk about future plans. And maybe they sense something and they're trying to reinforce and block off the stab by like talking about the future.
Yes.
Is the thought.
So this is to be clear, an actual like formal scientific
study. Oh yeah, absolutely.
That was done for purpose like of publishing and
they it's out of the University of Colorado.
Yep. They're going to present it at the Association for Computational Linguistics in Beijing, apparently. Yeah. This is something that's coming up. I'm now looking at the actual publication of the study. There's an abstract here that it might be worth reading. It's collaborative, Cornell and University of Maryland University of Colorado.
So the title of the study is Linguistic Harbingers of Betrayal, a case study on an online strategy game.
Yep. So he writes, the abstract at the beginning says, interpersonal relations are fickle, with close friendships often dissolving into enmity. In this work, we explore linguistic cues that presage such transitions by studying dyadic interact. That word, I don't know. I felt like I was doing so good.
Before. Yeah, dyadic. Yeah.
Dyadic interactions in an online strategy game where players form alliances and break those alliances through betrayal. We characterize friendships that are unlikely to last and examine temporal patterns that foretell betrayal. God, now I want to read the whole paper. We reveal the subtle signs of imminent betrayal are encoded in the conversational patterns of the dyad, even if the victim is not aware of the relationship's fate. In particular, we find that lasting friendships exhibit a form of balance that manifests itself through language. In contrast, sudden changes in the balance of certain conversational attributes, such as positive sentiment, politeness, or focus on future planning, signal impending betrayal.
Right.
So, to
really just be succinct,
yeah.
Your takeaway is if your interaction with somebody, if that mm-hmm. dynamic changes, especially with cues of politeness,
mm-hmm.
or you find yourself talking about the future plans for some reason, and you tend to be and you're reacting by being more and more polite to try and smooth relations with your ally.
Mm-hmm.
It might be stabbed pretty quick.
Yep. And they demonstrate this by looking at something that was like 150,000 individual communications of to hundreds and hundreds of online diplomacy games.
Yeah, it's like 249
online games, 145,000 individual communications between players, and they actually sort of, behavioral psychologists or linguists or whatever, would they actually just group everything like into bins of this is something positive, this is something neutral, this is something negative as allies are communicating with each other, and they find that in moments before betrayal, like they sort of know enough about the game to demonstrate, oh, okay, this was obviously a betrayal that had just happened here. Here are the linguistic things that we look at and say, hey, okay, this actually usually meant this when people. So
that's interesting. I also looking around the Facebook. This was floating around.
Yeah.
Several people shared it, and they got shared off our page. And Chris Martin chimed in, and I think what he implied was that he may have had something to do with this body of data getting into these researchers' hands.
If it was only 249 of Chris Martin's games, that screws up the whole thing.
I think it was not. I don't think they were all his.
Okay, good.
But and I'd be curious, Chris, if you want to, send us an email or just write it up there on our Facebook page, just kind of maybe what, if any, your role was in making this happen. Because I'll be curious to see if the diplomacy hobby helped facilitate this, or this was just couple of
dudes at Cornell.
Dudes in Cornell.
University of Washington.
Maryland and Colorado.
Colorado, that's what it was.
So,
live in Washington.
I don't really have a, this is really just like sort of a launching point for what we want to talk about a little later.
I have a little bit.
No, I know.
Yeah.
So I was trying to segue into doing that. I was trying to.
No,
anyway.
I have a little bit on just this, though.
No, that's what I meant. Segue into you talking.
Okay, here I go.
Okay, this is what we call an awkward segue.
It's super awkward. A couple things are interesting about this. First off, it's interesting that people are doing science using diplomacy as a way of sort of looking at the world. And of course, to us, it's interesting for the exact opposite reason. Like, we want to, look at what they found in diplomacy terms, because we're Diplomacy Cast, not Linguistics Cast, which is another podcast that we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Check us out. Google Linguistics Cast.
Yeah, at gmail.com.
At diplomacycast.gmail.linguistics.com. Mm-hmm. So I guess I think it's really interesting that the conclusion that they actually came to is part of it, at least, that you can use that metric and come up with, okay, people do get nicer to their intended victims right about when they're about to stab them. I guess my question to you is, does that resonate with you? Do you feel like, A, that's more of an online thing, B, that's a universal diplomacy thing, or C, that's wrong altogether? What does it feel like to you?
I would say it, and I think you're in the same boat on this, you know, it feels right. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not surprised at all by that conclusion.
Yep.
I would say in my experience online, mm-hmm. that might be true, although that is kind of in the murky past.
Yep.
I would say my experience in person, it's definitely happened, but you know, I don't know as it happens with a regularity.
Okay, so you're kind of in the exact same place I am with this, and maybe it's just because you and I have this bad habit of going and playing with really, really good tournament players that actually know better.
Yeah.
That actually know that they know that we know that if anything changes in the way that they've been interacting with us, then we get suspicious.
Yeah.
So there's like a little bit of third level thinking going on there, but probably not that like we're geniuses or anything. It's just that we play the game a lot and we've seen some of that before. And we've probably sniffed out a stab based on the fact that the guy was being too nice.
Right.
Like and I, and so then our opponents, knowing that we're the kind of people that have done that in the past, might be like, well, I can't behave any differently because Eric and Nathan have seen that before.
And I think it's important to understand the context of these interactions. Mm-hmm. These are people that you're not interacting with, not only face to face, but largely you don't know that you've ever met before.
Yeah.
And so there, I think that creates you're a different type of dynamic where we often play in a small universe of players that we've played a lot of the players many, many times. Yeah. And that creates a different relationship.
Very
where
true.
Part of this is clearly guilt. Like if you're going to be nicer to someone, it's because you have at least some germ of guilt
mm-hmm.
or
yeah,
you feel bad about it. And like after years of doing this, I feel no guilt, really, about
it's part
about
of the game.
It's part of the game, and that's and I think a lot of people are in the same place. But I think it's useful for newer players. I think it's useful for players that you've never interacted with before, and clearly, it's useful if you're playing online.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's important to just note that, not that it invalidates anything, not that it's slightly different than what you're going to get with players you played with many times. If you have a house game where you have like same like 10 people you play with, you're going to quickly find this rule not that helpful.
Exactly right. And an important caveat I think I need to make here is that I would think that you can't really generalize about the best online players based on what we learned from this study either, because the best online players probably have seen that rodeo before. There's no adjustment for skill level of the 249 games that they looked at. The 249 games could have all been just random people that were not very good at diplomacy. There could have been a few games in there with some really elite players, and those ones didn't show up as detected in the, the elite player was about to do the stab, and so he didn't do this thing. And so, I mean, I would just say, like, there's a lot more online players generally than there are face-to-face players, and when we talk about what face-to-face players tend to do, we're usually thinking about tournaments, and tournaments tend to draw the best face-to-face players because those are the people that care enough to like travel.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, not necessarily good, at least, but they love it.
There's a
celebration. They spend some time thinking about it, As far as the online players who might have not been detectable as changing their behavior before a stab, those ones might just not have resonated in the study. I'm sure they're not claiming that 100% of all stabs came with niceness right beforehand. But I'm sure it was like some statistically significant percentage, like over I don't know what the number is. I don't know.
You know, we could actually read the study and it might tell us.
Math is hard.
But it's not really, honestly, it's not really that important. It's important.
Well,
it's interesting from a conversational.
The important part I wanted to say was I'm not just saying like, oh, us face-to-face guys were like too awesome for that. And the online players are a bunch of suckers. So of course they're going to do like the cheapo thing. I'm saying that like, they probably looked at just, you know, it would have been the equivalent if they were like studying face-to-face games and they just needed 249 of them randomly. They might have gone to some 13-year-old's house and then they might have seen one at World DipCon and then they might have seen one in, you know, the point being that like there's no adjustment for like quality of opposition in here. And so what probably doesn't resonate to you and I about like the behavior changes that people go through there, it's probably because we spend a lot of time playing with people who play the game a lot. And that's not adjusted for in any way in the study. So as a more general like thing, it probably does happen pretty often.
And I'm sure it happens. I'm sure in face-to-face play, if you or I went, or both of us went to, remember that game we went to like last winter, down by the water.
Yeah.
And there was a bunch of people there we hadn't played with before.
Yep.
And we, you know, I think you and I didn't play, but we like sort of.
We did the team thing.
We did the team thing.
Yeah.
Where we sort of mentored someone.
Yep.
You know, that was a game in which I'm sure this came up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that when there were some stabs in that game, and I'm sure when they went down, the stabber was extra nice to the stabby because they were all coworkers, or you know, they all knew each other,
right.
But not in the context of the game. So
right.
I'm sure that that happened there because they'd never really played before or played once or twice.
So there's, I really enjoy when Eric Mead compares diplomacy to poker, said no one ever. So I'm just going to do that
we're
really
call
quick.
This is our new segment. Stuff no one wants to hear.
No one likes Eric talking about poker or baseball. What he talks about.
Oh, I hope we can work them both in.
Yeah. No, this one's just poker.
Okay.
I've read some about like poker tells and people who the sort of like there's like a multi-level thing that's been observed when it comes to poker players. The very, very earliest, like the, you know, if you let a little kid play poker or something like that, the little kid will appear nervous when he's nervous. You know, like he'll look like he's bluffing when he's bluffing, and he'll look extremely confident when his hand is very good, right? That's the basic level where he makes no effort to disguise anything about like what he's doing. The next level that people reach when they've played a little bit of poker is that they do total opposite day. And this is the level that, like, if you're trying to learn to get good at poker, you're probably better off looking for total opposite day than anything else. Like, you're probably better off if the guy looks extremely confident, it's because he's bluffing. If he wants to look like he's probably bluffing, it's because he has a good hand. Because he's all he's trying to do is just the opposite of what it is to try and fake you out. Then when you get to the really advanced levels of poker, you get the triple, quadruple, quintuple fake out acting, where I'm looking like I'm confident because I want you to think that I'm pretending to be confident when in fact I actually am confident, and you won't see, you know, it times however many levels of thinking, and you know, with various more subtle things salted in, but just as a general point of like looking confident versus not versus looking confident, depending on what your hand is. So I feel like the being extra nice to somebody right before you betray them is sort of that second level. Right?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I was wondering how you're going to tie this in.
Yeah,
that's good. It's good.
Yeah. And Felix Hernandez.
I'm curious why you chose the second level and not the first level.
Well, I suppose the first level would be like that you don't have the ability to like conceal at all that you're intending to stab somebody next turn. That's the one like where you probably the first level is when you don't even think to be deceitful about it, even though you are planning on somebody stabbing somebody, and that's when you just like don't make eye contact and like don't seem at all interested in what it is that they're saying. Which I mean, actually, some people do that. So maybe some people are.
I mean,
first level players, but like,
okay. No.
Yeah. And then the second level would be like, I'm about to stab you, so I thought about the fact that I don't want to be the guy that's not making eye contact and isn't ignoring you. So instead, I'm going to take you aside and talk really long about the long-term implications of our life. You're a really great guy.
I'm so glad we're allies.
Yeah. And you're right that some of that also might be not part of a deliberate strategy of, like, trying to lure someone in, but it also might just be you feel guilty. And
yeah.
So you just start being nice to them anyway.
Yeah, yeah, and I think there's an enormous amount of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's tough sometimes, especially,
yeah.
You know, it's one of the hardest parts of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It would be hard doing anything. Like, anytime you work with somebody over a long period of time to build something, whether it be, like, a sandcastle or this game or sure. Whatever it is, you know, yeah. there's whatever we want to call that bond, mm-hmm. You know, that you're going to take a huge dump on,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's some guilt there.
Yeah, so. People actually kind of don't like to stab, and I'm pretty sure we've covered that before.
Oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
There's sociopaths that do, whatever.
Yes, definitely.
And yeah, or...
And they have various levels of success in the game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or they like it because they really felt like they owed you one, but on average, people don't like stab, and they'll look for excuses not to, and I mean, I guess that's somewhere else we could go with this topic, is...
I mean, yeah. I mean, we'll get into it. Like what we're gonna do. So this is where we've talked about this, and we're gonna transition into another. We're gonna give another segment where we're mm-hmm. gonna kind of power plays or more like strategy and
more like psychology.
Yeah, but we're gonna classify it under power plays, and we're gonna try something out, and we'll explain it then.
Yeah. One more thing before we go to power plays.
Mm-hmm.
You thought you were done, didn't you?
I did.
Like, one more thing. What?
What?
No. One more thing is, since we're in the hot off the press segment, we need more emails.
Specifically, what would be great is show ideas.
Yeah.
Because, not that we're out of ideas, but
good thing somebody wrote this article, or we'd have been cooked right now. we have. More alliance things that we continue to talk about when we
and we have some other ideas.
Tactics. We have some other ideas.
And there's a variant episode that will be happening.
Yes,
for all
the
you.
Dumb variants. Dumb
you know,
episode.
They're not dumb.
They're not dumb. They're interesting. I don't ever play them. I don't.
It's
why.
Because you don't have a wellspring of information about it, and you're going to have to do a modicum of research before you start talking. That's the problem.
That's probably what it is. Can we only talk about ones Ivan? Make that any more
complicated? It's fast. Actually, variants are fascinating. We'll easily. Fill up an episode about it.
Yeah. So that's coming soon-ish.
We don't want to give you...
We are going to be a little dark for about a month or so. We're giving you two pretty close to each other, then we're going away for a little bit, but hopefully not like all summer or anything.
Busy.
A bit. Yeah.
It's a busy summer.
Yeah. We... could use we were getting a lot of show ideas and email for a while, and we did some of them and we liked a lot of them, and if you happen to have one you've been sitting on, feel free and send it to us.
You can send it to the Gmail. Facebook is great because mm-hmm. it lets other people know about it, mm-hmm. So just post it publicly. It's mm-hmm. fine.
And I understand that maybe the reason that the emails have slowed down to us is because like we just poop on them.
We
ignore them for months at a time if we ever use them at all, and the rest of them we just ignore, even if it's like, help, I can't find my insulin, please go to my house. Like, we're still like, seriously.
Where's my insulin? I know. I'll contact diplomacy guys. Well, that'll be helpful.
We're hopeless at like actually replying to emails or using them or letting you know that we're going to use them or anything. So baby, take us back one more time.
Yeah,
we're sorry. We'll treat you better this time. Here, we got you some flowers,
or just use the Facebook
diplomacycast@gmail, whatever you want to do.
Yeah,
but yeah, take and show ideas.
Yep.
Why don't
we be? Yeah, we'd be interested in just seeing what the group hive mind has.
Yeah.
All right. So
power plays.
Power plays. I dropped my mouse.
Power plays.
Power plays.
Power plays.
Power plays.
I dropped my mouse.
you are. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm gonna set this up.
Ooh, I can grab the thing.
Oh, yeah, grab the thing. So what we thought we'd do would be kind of funny. Wow, you really are making a show of that, aren't you?
Yeah.
We've gone into the files. What we thought we'd do is, in the theme of being able to smell betrayal, tales of betrayal, sort of off the article, and just sort of like, what would you do in this situation? Be it stabs or just quick reactions to scenarios. Yeah. We thought we'd give each other a couple of scenarios and we really haven't flush these out with each other yet, so they're going to be mostly cold.
Yep.
We've only just said, okay, different parts of the game. That's really all we know. And I'm going to give one to Eric. Eric's going to give one to me. We'll do that twice, and then we're just going to sort of see where the conversation
see where it takes us. Yeah.
Takes us.
The idea being let's talk through our thinking about the psychology involved. Our thinking about the sort of. What are we taking into account? What are our questions about the situation based on how other people are thinking? And we hope that it.
And we're also super interested in what your thoughts are. So if one of these particular scenarios just like really digs in your brain, you're like, oh no, I would do this, or I think this is more important. We'd love to hear it. We'll talk about it in the next show. Mm-hmm. We'll see how this works. If it works really well, we'll do more of these. So it's up to you guys and gals. To really give us the feedback to see if this is something we should do.
Yep.
So, do you want me to go? I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so number one. Okay. Eric, you are playing England.
Okay.
You are you're in the mid-game. It's maybe, let's just pick a random number, 1905.
Okay.
It's close to the mid-game.
I probably built wrong at some point. just saying.
Right, you probably did. Okay. So, you have been in an alliance with France for at least two game years. You're doing well. You've taken out Germany or gotten Germany to be no longer a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sort of getting to that place where you're pushing beyond and you're pressing up against the borders of other powers, and you need to coordinate. People are pushing back because they're concerned about the EF. And
how's Russia doing?
Russia's doing fine.
Okay.
Got a little bit of Germany. Has a little foothold in Sweden.
We haven't actually fought yet.
You haven't really fought yet. Maybe just some nothing. You don't have a full on war. Maybe some bounces. Maybe you took something. But really, it's not a hot war. But now there's 5 minutes left of the negotiating period, and you know that France has turned in his orders and is gone, nowhere to be found. You know that your ally has talked to everyone else. You and your ally have talked. You seem to have an okay conversation. You have the thing that needs to happen. Yeah. You're ready to go, but he's nowhere to be found. And you have a question that you kind of want to answer. You could go without it, but you would like to talk to him, and you sort of expect, you're used to talking to him maybe last every round, not necessarily, but you know what I mean? You're sort of surprised he's not around. He didn't tell you, and no one seems to really know where he is. In that scenario, you have 5 minutes.
Boy.
What do you do? And what are your initial thoughts, what do you do?
Yeah, like, what are my concerns here?
Yeah.
Like, okay, and continuing on our theme of people pooping.
Yes.
Maybe he's pooping.
Right? He could be
pooping.
Yes, he absolutely could be. He could be using the bathroom.
Psychology and poop. There's our title for our episode.
Oh, man, you probably will put that up there.
I probably will. Yeah. okay. When you start posting him, you can name him. okay, so I talked to him. Did we just not have a lot tactically that wasn't obvious?
There's obvious stuff to do. Mostly what needs to happen this turn is you need to advance. Mm-hmm. There's a fairly obvious advance that needs to happen. You didn't really talk about it any more than just sort of...
Ugh, I hate that.
Okay. You know, just sort of like, oh yeah, we need to do that thing. So it's clear that you and he are on the same page.
Maybe we're gonna, yeah.
And you think you know which one the mover is.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay.
And there is a clear, he could stab you easily.
He could stab me.
Oh, yeah. Could absolutely. Yeah, you could stab him. Like, you're at that point, you're sort of intermingled a little bit. Like, you've really just gotten Germany down to, like, one or just taken him off the map. You got stuff overlapped. You're right on top of each other.
But his orders are in the box.
His orders are in the box.
Ay, ay, ay.
Okay. He's nowhere to be found. And you have no idea if he'll be back or not.
Mm. Okay, yeah. So much of this is psychology at this point for me. That yeah, so much absolutely. Of this is, like, with one player, I'd panic, and with another player, I'd just be like, "Oh, cool, 5 minutes. I'll go smoke, or, sure. or you know, or something," because so much of it is like. Sometimes when you're in those situations, when you've been working with a person for a long time, like you've invented a common language, and over the course of those sure. 5 years of gameplay or whatever, like you've just come up with like. You kind of know the rhythms of your ally, and you know, is this somebody who like always wants to double and triple and quadruple check the plan, or is yeah. this somebody who's just like, so we're doing Burgundy, right? Yep. Okay. Sounds good. And is we're doing Burgundy. Yep. Okay. Like, is that somewhere where he could get deceitful or not?
Yeah.
Is it somewhere where if we didn't talk specifically enough about the plan, is my ally the kind of person that would just be like, do something I wouldn't like and creep up, maybe not taking my center, but creep a little bit, you know, make one move that maybe I wouldn't like in the assumption that if I was okay with that, maybe I'd be okay with the next one, and he could just sort of gradually like creep over me.
Yeah.
I think of that, well, no offense if you're listening from there, but I think of that as sort of an East Coast strategy where like there'll be like a lot more, you didn't say I shouldn't do that.
There's a lot more testing the line. You're a like, little where, more, where, right. How far can folks, I push this?
So even if I didn't think I was getting stabbed that second, I'd also wonder, is this the kind of thing where, okay, we talked about Burgundy, but we didn't talk about Belgium, Kiel, or Silesia, you know, that like we didn't talk about any of these other things, and so is this going to be something I don't like
right.
happening at this point? And so that's really the, sort of the psychological evaluation that I'm trying to make at this point. Or is my ally just an easygoing person who's just like, oh, yeah.
Well, let's. Well, I mean,
Bulgaria,
like,
I'm going to go poop.
For you know,
or, I mean, Burgundy.
So just for purposes of this, given that scenario
mm-hmm.
and the fact that I'm not able to give you really the give you the whole profile of this player you're playing.
But I think one of the exercises, what are the questions that we're asking ourselves at this point when
right.
we're trying to make a decision?
Exactly.
Right?
You know, yeah. No, one of the questions, and maybe you don't have to, yeah, making the decision is totally irrelevant. But as I haven't, well, my question to you is like, yeah. given this scenario that I've given you, that we've talked about, Are there alarm bells going off in your head? Are you
like I'm saying? It depends on the person. This is what I'm explaining is my process.
Okay,
I think, and my process here is this the sort of human being that I should worry because this is the sequence of events or not? And that's my process. I mean, I could go down each path.
Why don't you go down each path? So, briefly go down each path. I'm curious.
So, well, one of them you don't need to say much at all. Like, if I really sit and think about this, because I'm going to really sit and think about this in either event, because this is probably a little bit of a different thing than anything that's happened in the game so far.
Yeah.
Right? And
this is anomalous.
I'm also going to assume for purposes of this that I'm actually happy with the plan that he and I did agree with.
Yeah.
So I'm probably not going to... I'm probably not going to just up and stab him because stabbing him might be better for me. I'm going to assume that I want to stick with him, and I'm only going to stab him if I think he's, if not outright stabbing me at this point, at least doing one of those little creeping things. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Am I making sense?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, let's just for the benefit of this exercise because I think he's an easygoing guy and he's just gone to the bathroom and I'm not going to worry about it isn't very interesting.
Yeah.
So for the purposes of this exercise, you kind of it's possible he's that easygoing guy.
Right. Like, yeah, there's not much to say about that. If I just go, oh, he's pooping, fine.
You're really going to stick with this all episode, right?
Psychology of pooping, yes, I am. If I'm just like, okay, he's pooping, and I'm pretty sure that he thinks we talked about all we needed to talk about, and also I like our plan,
yeah,
then I'm done. Okay. That's you're all there like, is to it. I write the happy orders, I throw them in the box, I have 3 minutes to myself also. Okay. No problem, or I have 3 minutes to go and sort of harass the Turk and try and get him to do something stupid or something like that, you know, whatever. But the more interesting case is the one where I'm like, that could be shady.
Yeah.
That could be either I'm getting stabbed right now and he just doesn't want to be there, so he just wrote his stab orders and like just went and hid.
Because that happened.
Or something, because people do, yeah. Or else people go and talk to Turkey and try and get them to do something stupid, like just so it looks like they're busy.
Yeah,
you know, like they.
Because what they don't want to do, what they're avoiding, is interacting with you.
That's right. So it could be that, and it also could be the creeping thing. It could be the like, you know, well, if Eric talks to me again, he might get me to promise not to go to the Helgoland Bite at this point. So
I don't want to talk to him.
I don't want to talk to him because I didn't say I wouldn't go to the Helgoland Bite, and I wrote that I'm going to the Helgoland Bite. So boom. So then the question is: at that point, do I preemptively just turn around, like go with my gut, and turn around all the way and accept that I might be wrong?
Right, and let's just say that there is a very very clear stab that's easy to do, guaranteed.
From him to me, or me to him?
For him to you, like there's like a stab that the entire one of those things. Have you been in the scenario where half the board comes by and is like, "Hey, France, you know, you could go ahead and take both Belgium and Munich this turn." Yeah. Like one of those things where the board has come to you.
No, probably if I'm that vulnerable and my assessment is that the guy might not miss out on a good stab, I'm probably covering stuff
right
at that point.
Because
I'm probably willing to spend some of the goodwill and the tempo that we've built up so far in our alliance, just because after the fact, if you were totally wrong and you totally misread the situation, what it's probably cost you if you just made defensive moves,
yeah,
then you have to have an awkward conversation with your ally where you're like, I'm sorry, I freaked,
you
slowed us down, you were gone, I didn't know what was going on, I'm sorry.
Right.
I was wrong. And then a lot of times, like, just one of those, like in a tournament situation, just one of those is enough to really just sort of poke the air out of the tires of your alliance. And, you know, like, you went the wrong way.
Yeah. We've lost all this momentum.
Yeah. And that can be killer, but it also can be healthy.
Yeah.
For an alliance, it just depends, you know.
Well, like, so you're basically saying this is the kind of communication I need. You can't just disappear without telling me.
Yeah,
just at least tell me.
I'm willing to sort of stick a pin in that tire if I have to.
Yeah.
But those are the things that I'm analyzing, and if I come to the conclusion no, this is just too sketchy.
Yeah.
Then yeah, I'm willing to like put a pin in that tire a little bit.
But
how about you?
You're not willing to stab. Just based on the guy's absence.
Hold that thought. It's surprisingly similar to one of my scenarios I have for you.
Okay, good. So that would be my curiosity. Like, I won't get it because I'm going to, you know, talk whatever your scenario is.
Right.
But yeah. I basically, you know, I kind of agree with what you said. The disappearing thing has definitely happened to me before, and it can be pretty unnerving.
Yeah,
because by the time that it's happened in the scenario I'm giving, I already know whether or not the guy, if they're a smoker, if they're somebody that
a pooper.
Yeah, if they disappear.
Really.
No, you're not. Yeah. You're so not done.
Super
nice. It's very anomalous. At least in the scenario that I'm trying to describe you, and this has happened to me before. Like somebody just like poof disappears, and it's a little bit. For me, I would probably be... I'm more likely to be defensive in that case rather than risk it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right, but you could be wrong.
Exactly. And in that case, you know, I would
cover
probably...
Cover a dot.
I would
punt. Right.
I would just pine. Yeah. Because okay. I don't think it's enough for me to get me to stab. I would have to have more information, or the scenario would have to be slightly different for me to preemptively take Holland.
Okay, well, I'll save that one for my second one then, because it's too similar to something I was going to add.
Go for it.
All right, this one's pretty different. Okay. We're done with
one? Yeah, okay.
All right, you're Turkey.
Okay.
It's pre-spring 1901.
Okay, so the first moves haven't happened, is what you're
saying. First moves have not happened. You go to Russia, and for whatever reason, it goes really well. It's someone that you've worked with a bunch in the past. Yeah, let's say it's someone. Well, we don't have to say. For whatever reason, it goes really well with Russia. Russia says, "No, I want to work with you right now. I actively want to be your ally." You go to Austria. You know, we could work together. If we did work together, it would be like this and this and this. Yes, I agree. I also agree. Standard. Russia, it's good. Russia says, all right, what I'm going to do here, let's just not even worry about the Black Sea. I really want to work with you. Okay? I'm going to put my fleet straight in Romania. I'm not going to cover Sev. I'm going to Gal and something up north. Exactly. No big deal. I'm gonna put my fleet straight into Romania.
Okay.
So at this point, you've got a nice situation, right? You've
Absolutely.
Got something where you've got a Russian who, for all, and you believe him for whatever reason, you believe that he's telling you the truth at this point. You pretty much have two options, I'd say. You could do the thing where you're like, okay, that's awesome, and you could also move your fleet to the Black Sea, sail it over to Khan, do nothing hostile with your armies, you know, and be set up for some quick, obvious RT-looking thing where nobody went to the Black and there's just a lot of love down south, right?
Yeah.
That would be thing number two. Or thing number one. Thing number two would be, okay, this guy's making no effort to cover anything. I can actually just take the Black Sea and also Armenia, and he's going to be in a ton of trouble.
Right.
Yeah. What are the things that you'd factor in? What are you thinking?
What am I putting on the scales?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Well, I'll tell you, there's a number of things that immediately came to mind while you were talking about this.
Okay.
So I'm just going to tell you which side of they're going to come. I'm going to kind of explain it, and then I'm going to tell you what pro or con.
Okay.
So the first thing I'm thinking about is, you know, and we're just assuming here that I completely agree. I have no question that this Russia is going to follow through.
That's really what he's going to do. Yeah,
that's really what he's going to do.
Yeah, and
whether or not he actually does is irrelevant. I have that is not a factor that I will be weighing, because I know this is what's going to happen.
That's
that's
exactly the situation I'm trying to construct. Is you're sure?
I'm sure. I know this is going to happen. So the first thing that occurs to me is, you know, it's rare to get that, to feel that confident. In most games, you know, the Black Sea, just bouncing the Black Sea. And I would, in just game after game after game, you see it all of the time. And when you don't see it, you see it with one or the other in the Black Sea.
Mm-hmm.
To have a situation in which you're coming out of the gate and you're going and you are fairly confident based on your other conversations that it's not going to get immediately squashed. I guess that's another factor. So the one that on the pro is like, okay, well, that's pretty fun. Like, that's appealing to me in that.
Right.
Because it's different.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
So it definitely is on the pro. And the corollary to that is I'm also fairly confident that it's not just going to get shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So if the entire rest of the board other than France is... players that I know can really just drop everything and you know, wrap us up. Then I'm definitely that it's not weighing as heavily. It's not as appealing it's a consideration.
Okay.
Because if I go this way and we just get shut down, it loses some of its luster.
Part of the strategic concern for you is if you have good players that would be that would look at those moves and just be like, oh my god, there's a total Care Bear love fest going on with Russia and Turkey, drop everything and go kill those guys.
Yeah, are these,
so that's more of a tactical.
If these are a group of people that are going to react that way.
A strategic concern, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Then I might, it's not going to, it's still on the positive, but it's just not going to be as appealing.
Okay.
It doesn't mean I don't do it. It just means, okay, it's good to think that. Mm. On the other side of the coin, getting Turkey out of the box, whether or not I'm going to get, whether or not the RT is successful, is very, very appealing. Just even if I have no intention whatsoever of working with R past 1902,
sure,
getting the sort of push that you can get from a really cooperative Russian is just amazing. Like being able to do that. So that's another like, okay, well, even if the RT isn't going to work, if I can just make it, if I can just get out from, if I get to the Aegean and I can get past Bulgaria, wherever it is.
Yeah.
OMG.
Of course, Sevastopol's kind of out of the box also, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So that's definitely appealing. On the other side of the coin, I really like the idea of like just getting the jump on the Russian, and just it's a power that can just go crashing down.
Mm-hmm.
My consideration there is like, okay, well, I can surround the Black Sea by 02 or mid 03. I can have it all and then just be like there, powerhouse in it. Like, okay, screw you guys. Even if Russia totally collapses and another power is running over the board, I know unless that power solos, I'm going to be in some sort of draw.
Yeah, right.
I'm just going to be this really irritating rock.
You're at five and they're the right five, or six and they're the right six.
Absolutely. That it's so much leverage right there. Sure. And that's a huge appeal of just going after the Russian at this point. You know, if I was going to do it, I would do it immediately. I think in this, given this scenario, I'm either going to go fully one or full the other.
Right.
I'm definitely not going to try and,
half-ass it.
I don't want to try and split the difference.
Yeah.
Just like by putting a fleet in the Black Sea, because that doesn't get me anything.
No. What's so great about my scenario that I'm trying to build for you is that it's going to be a horrible game for Russia if you do one thing. It's going to be a horrible game for Austria if you do the other thing.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And, you know, those are really basically those two considerations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about those things. I'm thinking about, can I work with this particular Russian long term? Mm-hmm. Is this somebody that I want to be like interacting with and writing orders with and strategizing with for 10 game seasons, 8 game seasons? Do I want to like that?
You're also asking yourself that question about the Austrian?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to know. I mean, I'm more concerned about the Russian initially, because if I, as I just said earlier, if I go anti-Russian, I'm assuming that I'm going to be kind of on my own, because the Austrian's unlikely to help me much.
Well, he's going to be pleasantly surprised that he doesn't have a juggernaut.
Yes.
At least.
But
that doesn't mean he won't decide to work with Russia and not you, in which case you're in trouble.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I'm less concerned about my ability to work with the Austrian, because I might work the Italian. I might flip back to the remains of Russia. I'm not inexorably partnered with the Austrian.
Mm-hmm.
I will be partnered with the Russian if we do this, because as I said in the beginning, like if we go, we got to keep going. Well, we don't have
okay,
to, but
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
You're perfect. Ideally if. If you're doing it right and there's not a lot of resistance, you're rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just a train you don't want to get off on before you're in a position to just really take out the Russian. So I'm thinking about, okay, can I deal with this particular thing? I thought about the board. I thought about that player. And what am I going to do about, and then I'm thinking about, honestly, do I feel like doing, like, in my mood this particular day.
The aesthetics work into it a lot for you, don't they?
Yeah. Is it something that I feel like kind of doing today? Because the RT is, in some ways, kind of boring. It's kind of a lot more interesting to just dig right into the Russian, get that stab out of the way, and then just kind of be on my own for a while. Like, it's, that's one of the cool things about Turkey. You can kind of be a loner for a little while and then get back in it.
Okay.
I don't know.
So those are all here's part of the question, I guess. I stipulated that your opening negotiations went really well with the Russian, but I didn't say why.
Yeah.
One possibility is that it's somebody you've never met before, who I suppose maybe just comes to you and says, I really like Russia Turkey. Let's just do that. But you've never met him before. Seems like an okay guy, whatever. But, you don't really know anything about him. The other opportunity is, I don't know, it's your best buddy on the planet. Like, that somebody that you always have had good alliances with in the past or something like that. And they're just like, let's do this. Come on, you know we can do this. Seriously, I'm going to Romania right now. Just go to Black Sea, and we could just, like, for whatever reason, they've got a bugger. Like, does that change your decision-making?
Yes.
In what way? Because I can see that going either way.
Just so I don't muddy the waters here, let's just assume that there's no tournament considerations here. There's no... We're not thinking about, like, there's a tournament leader or anything like that. Sure. I just want to put that out there that that's not a consideration. It's usually not a consideration for me anyway. But, you know, let's just remove that.
Sure.
If it's a brand new... Like, it is both ways. If it's a brand new guy...
Mm-hmm. I didn't say brand new.
But I mean, to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that matters.
To me, it matters. I don't really know that much about this person. This could be, you know, I will be wondering, okay, is this a ruse? Is this something like that I'm just being tricked? Is this somebody who's just really new to the game who is going to be, I can really mentor and will just, you know.
Sorry.
Take him under my wing and help him develop into a great diplomacy player? Or is this somebody who, you know, I am going to basically be holding his hand and helping him write his orders? Do I have confidence that when he's talking to somebody else, I'm not going to have to go and talk to that person to undo the work?
And if he's somebody that you really think might be truly incompetent, you're going to be writing his orders, and he's going to be like, then you're more likely to go to the Black Sea.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. If I feel like this is going to be a lot of work, and I have less control.
If it's somebody you've never met before, but you have every reason to think is probably a competent player.
I mean, let's say I've asked around the board about the guy, and he's a local hobby guy, and
you've heard his name before.
I've heard the name before, and people say, "Oh yeah, he knows what he's doing. He's fine. He's he's a little squirrely on this, that, and the other. Blah blah blah." But I get a generally if people that I know are competent say he's competent, you know, they vouch for him, then you know it's a different consideration than just a vast unknown.
Yeah,
I'm more likely to probably stab him because I don't know him that well. Probably.
No. All right. Probably. So you're probably just stabbing someone you don't know anyway.
It's
regardless.
Not always, but in like a delicious opportunity like this,
Okay. But if it's on the other hand, if it's Jerry Fest,
stab him. No.
If it's Dan Lester. Is that Russian? I'm trying to up with hard ones on purpose here. If it's someone that I know you love working with.
No, will stab me.
But also would stab you, sure. But this time, for whatever reason,
this time there's no
before spring of 01.
Right. I know we're stipulating that I've completely drank the Kool-Aid here, and I know this is happening. Whether or not I'm being stabbed, I'm my mindset is this is happening.
Yeah.
So, and if it's somebody that I know or that I can work with, that, like, those two guys, it will be pleasant for me to work with them.
Okay.
And I know that...
Rarely, if ever, going to the Black Sea. There.
They're probably less going to go to...
Okay. So, that was part of why I was interested in it, just that question comes into it, too.
In that case, the whole, can I work with this person for game after game, and am I confident... That's really weighing a lot heavier. If I know the person, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I would have no problem like sitting down and strategizing and like talking tactics with this person for the next 4 hours. Like, great. That's going to weigh a lot more heavily than today. I don't feel like doing an RT.
Yeah.
Like it's going to get, you know, they're all like, for me, they're all the considerations, I think you framed it slightly differently, but for me, they have more or less weight.
Yeah.
Depending on the...
I think I'm a little different than you on the, if it's the competent stranger. Yeah. I think if it's the competent stranger, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to Constantinople more often than I'm going to the Black Sea there. Like, I may regret it. It may be 1904, and I'm like, why did I ever work with the schlump? But I think I'm more willing to, like, do it once than, yeah.
And also,
and on the flip side, I'm probably more likely to, like, stab people that I love to work with. You know, like, I'm probably more likely to just be like, yeah, whatever, screw that guy. I don't know why. I'm so, you know, sorry, Brian Sheldon. I don't know why I'm Tarmini in the Black Sea. I just did. Like, yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. And some of those other factors will be, you know, weighted differently, like with the competent stranger. Like, maybe I'll just be like, maybe it'll be a day where I'm looking at the rest of the board like, you know, it would be awesome if I worked with this guy over these particular players. Like, that's really, that's going to pull me in the other direction. Like, there's going to be, certainly scenarios in which, like, oh my gosh, working with this guy, that's going to be great. There's going to be, like, some theater to it. Yeah. So, no one's going to expect that I don't work with the Austrian. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, one of those sort of things, I'm like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, like, if I just want to fight, like, there's times when there's players on the board that I just kind of want to, like, test him out.
Yep.
You know, like, all right, big shot. Mm-hmm. Let's see what you got. I got newbie over here. And just come out of I tell you, like, those scenarios in which you know where you can come out super strong like that.
Mm-hmm.
The theater there is so great because I love the situations in which the board goes, oh dang,
yep,
what the hell just happened?
Yep. Yep.
Like shocking to everyone who's ever played with me. I like a little bit of drama,
yeah,
and I like a big reveal. So if I could do that, oh man, I'm definitely gonna go with the unexpected.
Right.
So you know,
good one.
All right. Oh right, yes. Okay. So next scenario for Eric. Okay, this is an endgame sort of a thing.
Okay.
Mature middle of the game.
Okay.
The board has just... It's one of those boards where it's just evolved into two large alliances. For lack of a... We'll just say East versus West.
Okay.
You and your allies are trying to do what you typically do. And let's just say it's 3-3. Like, basically, you eliminated Austria, and that's it.
Oh, God. Okay.
This
game.
Yes. Okay. It's not that deep into it. You haven't been that long. But the West sorted itself out early, and the East sorted itself out early, and you both ran for the line at about the same time, and no one really has a jump on each other.
Mark.
So, yeah, no, it's not... It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
So, you're in a situation in which... You are sort of the one that is trying to flip somebody. For whatever reason, you got elected that position. You're going to the other side. There's somebody that think...
My allies both have Asperger syndrome.
Well, whatever.
I've been there. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
In this scenario, often one person is trying to do it. They'll have a connection with...
all the diplomacy.
Right.
Yep.
You have a connection with somebody on the other side. Let's, for lack of a better thing, this is your Germany, and the person you have the rapport with is the Italian. Sure, you guys are right down there. Mm-hmm. Great. You have the situation is such, like, you have a great stab on one of your allies. You feel really confident that the Italian, and you can see that there's a scenario in which if the Italian moves, oh, it's great. Like, that alliance crumbles. You're rolling, you're doing great, and that shifts the entire dynamic of the board.
England and Russia are kind of locked up north, maybe.
Yes.
They're kind of both having their own one-on-one battle, and the interesting stuff is, yeah, I can see it.
Right.
Okay.
And the price, like, this is gold. Like, you know that if, and you believe that this will work, and he is willing to do it, if you agree to stab France at the same time.
It's me and Italy going against France together.
Right. On
breaking
both.
Up the whole dynamic, risking letting, I don't know, whatever, Russians and Turks spill over on my east or something like that.
Exactly. You're doing it on both sides. He's saying the only way I'm going to do it is if you do it too. If you stand to clean up in this, you're going to gain safely gain 3. You're not going to be overexposed. You're gonna. It's great for you. And last thing, in sort of deputizing you to do this negotiation, England and France have said to you, but if you stab us, we're quitting the game. We're just dedicating ourselves wholeheartedly, just taking you down. And they will. They're in a position. They're not completely overexposed because the dots you're going to pick up. Most of them are Austrian. You'll pick up maybe one French. They're in a position to really make it difficult for you. But you'll have a lot of.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really trying to set up a situation where it's going to be really good for you, and you could probably fight him off. What are your considerations about whether or not this person will do it?
Yeah. Oh, right. And I need to actually believe the Italians.
And whether or not you're going to believe you're going to do it.
Ugh.
And the reason I'm trying to set this up, like, it's really appealing for both of you. It's in your best interests to do this stab. Like, empire building wise, you both have to do it at the same time. There's every reason to believe that this will happen, but if neither of you do anything, nothing changes.
Yeah, okay.
Your situation is stable.
Oh, good. The part you just threw in there, and I don't know if you meant to, was the part about, like, I'm stabbing France, but they've pre-ruled out any chance that I could get England to be okay with this somehow. You're pre-ruling that out.
Yes.
So I may as well be stabbing both of them. Basically. I'm getting 3. I may as well be taking 2 off France, 1 off England, or vice versa.
It's only important that you're taking stuff off the other side of the line because that. And I just want to make sure
that's all they care about.
Yes, but it matters to your ally, and it also matters in the sense that you're not. It's with this stab. It's unlikely that everybody else is going to come in and crush you two. The way that this stab is going to work, it's good for you, and it would be difficult for everyone to just band together and crush you guys. Like, people are going to continue to work with you. I'm just trying to say, like, England and France have said to you, we're going to come after you.
The part about England saying that, too, is the part that, like, screws me up, because part of, like, what I would be taking into account here is, well, like, the English guy's going to be annoyed, but maybe I can swing him. Once he's, like, drawn that line in the sand, though, then I'm like, there's no chance, you know? Like,
well, let me just say it to you like this, then.
Yeah.
He's said that, right. But do you believe it? Can you change his mind? This is going to be such, like, France is going to be pretty crippled, and you're going to need to continue to work with somebody, and he's locked it with the Russian up north. You can continue making gains on the Russian with the English, which is certainly what you're going to go and say to him. I just want to let you know, they have said this to you.
Okay, believe it or not, this one is actually pretty easy for me.
Oh, good.
Because
it's not for me.
Like, easy, not because I think I'm a good player, but easy because I'm sort of a bad player in this way. Like, it's easy for me. Like, this is an itch you can scratch for me anytime. If I'm in some sort of boring 3-on-3 stalemate grind and somebody has any other suggestion, especially when I'm in this circumstance where I feel like I'm being held hostage by my allies, it's like, continue grinding away at the line or else we're just gonna, like, team up and go after you or whatever. This is not a thing that is fun to me. This is not the reason that I'd play the game.
Well, let me just be... You have the option of not stabbing your ally and just letting your newfound friend in Italy do all the stabbing and then just...
Oh, right. No, I
can. I'm just saying, like, that's something you can completely do. One of those two do you do?
I think I'm already, like, my morale is already pretty low at this point. So if I've got anybody that's coming to me, even knowing that Italy might not do his part of it, I'm probably going to do it. like 90% of the time, I'm probably
so,
doing
but
it.
When you,
like,
say you're going to do it, does that mean you're going to stab your ally?
Yeah, I'm probably stabbing France at this point, which technically means I'm stabbing France and England, and I might just die. I get that. And dying and doing some sort of, like, painful 6-way grind where, like...
6-way half does the other.
Right, exactly.
Actually, dying's more interesting.
Dying might be more fun because at least I can, like, take someone with me or something. Honestly... that's not that... If I think that there's a... 40% chance that Italy means it.
Yeah.
I'm probably just going to do it. And so then see what happens. And that's not just totally irrational. That's just sort of in a situation where everything is just ordered and simple, and it's us three against them three, or us three against them two, or us two against them two, or like whatever, like where like bohemia is really critical to what succeeds and what doesn't, you know, one of those situations, I don't do as well.
Yeah.
And so if there's any kind of chaos that can happen in one of those situations, anything unexpected, that's where I tend to do well, is sort of capitalizing on, you know, talking people into things that are terrible ideas for them, or just
I love that you go, like, that's always your go-to talent. Like, I can talk people into crazy.
just ask Dave. Dave Polansky.
So it does interest me that you're just gonna stab your ally rather than
probably
then try and like fake out and say, okay, yes, I'm gonna probably stab the ally,
and maybe you didn't know that you'd emphasize something as much as you had, but when you told me that England and France are gonna spend the rest of the game like working against me if I ever do
that, at least that's what they told you. Yeah,
at least that's what they told me. That pisses me off so much that they did that. Those Asperger's syndrome little guys that aren't talking to anyone else, and they've just let me know that, like, my job. Like, they just told me my job.
Yeah, basically.
I'm super annoyed at those guys. I'm looking for any way out.
That's interesting.
If I go and talk to Russia or Turkey or Italy, and I've got one guy that's selling me anything, even if he might not do it, even if his whole goal here is just to be like, aha, I caught one of them blinking, and now we're going to spill over the line and have some glorious, like, Russia, Italy, Turkey victory, or whatever. Like, fine. Like, that, or like, if he's really just trying to trick me and the whole thing was an elaborate setup, kudos.
You tricked me.
You got me. You got me. Unless I have some reason based on the way he delivers the thing to just feel like his smoke is completely being blown up my butt. Like, unless I think there's like a...
We're just going to assume in this scenario that's plausible. Like, you feel not awesome about it, but you feel like it's, you know...
Again, my number is probably about like 40%. Like, if I think there's a 40% chance that he'll actually do it, then I'll spend the rest of that negotiation session trying to drive that up to 45, 50. 55, like, all I'll be doing here is being like, I love this idea so much, I'm totally writing these orders, please, please, please just do it, and the game will get fun again.
Oh, I had no idea this would be such a good scenario.
Yeah.
I like how these people I just made up, you're mad at.
Hate those guys. Turkey's pretty cool.
He's a good guy. Yeah. I mean, he's a little annoying, but
yeah, exactly.
I wish he'd stop eating all the time. You know, it's fine. Where does he keep getting those roast beef sandwiches? I don't know.
He's pooping and whatnot.
So that's super interesting.
Yeah, no, because I've been in a couple of these games before, and I've broken them for better and worse. Like, I've broken them, and then everyone afterwards was like, why did you do that? We were just about over the line, and it would have been great, and you just stabbed me for no reason. I'm like, yeah, I did.
I was bored.
That's true, actually. I guess part of my underlying logic behind it is that any game that's already devolved into a 3-on-3, that game's not done.
No,
right?
Well, that's why it's gonna happen. Exactly. The reason I was thinking about the scenario was like, there's clearly stuff that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And a lot of opportunity. So, you can really change the dynamic here, and a lot of stuff is gonna move around, and that's basically why I was like, okay, so you know it's not just like 2-2 and like you're just trying to cut one guy out.
Right.
To get a three-way.
Which is another three horrible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But there's a lot of stuff that can happen.
Yeah.
But just for my edification, make whatever mental changes you need to make to this scenario to talk to our listeners about what considerations would you have if you're giving a scenario similar to this, in which you're faced with the choice of following through with a stab on your ally while they stab, or just letting them stab. Like, that, I'm interested in that particular thing.
I think maybe one thing that immediately came to mind when you said that was maybe I have like a little bit of an inside track with one of the other guys, like the Russia or the Turkey or something like that, and I know that okay, like if Italy goes off the deep end and you know,
just if Italy breaks, like, you know that you're going to be able to do something.
If Italy breaks, just let him, you know, like just let him break, and then we'll go do another thing that we've already planned out. Like it's okay. You know, somebody else has already been communicating with me. I'm assuming that the Russia and Turkey on the other side in this scenario also have Asperger syndrome, and they're also just like, no offense,
you know, shorthand for not being very talkative.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes in these like mid game scenarios, I feel like, why am I the only, there's six of us and I'm the only person that's trying to talk to anybody anything except who's supporting whom into Bohemia, like, and that's why I keep making the aspiration, because like people like get in this like tactics mode where like you're like, hey Turkey, can I talk to you? They're like, what? Oh, I guess. Like, I'm a little busy right now trying to write tactics, you know, but I get it. And like I just feel like games like that are broken, and so if I've got like three people or two out of the three people on the other side of the board that I feel like we're brainstorming, we're making progress, maybe it's not this season, maybe it's not next season, and then I've got one of them who like suddenly surprises me with this plan that's like, you do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. And the whole game's gonna change, then maybe like even if I believe them, I'll be like, okay, but what if I just don't do my part and I've got another friend over there instead and he just totally like blows up his own game, then maybe I can do something interesting at that point. Like, okay, well at least now we're down from 6 to 5.
Right.
And then we can reevaluate. Like, we'll see who does well.
So basically, you will either take... I mean, because there's three scenarios. Yeah. There's you and Italy both stab. Mm-hmm. You allow Italy to stab and take his support to get in to mm-hmm. stab. Or you basically do nothing
mm-hmm.
And just let the Italian go on
do exactly what I told France and England I was going to do.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Because basically, in this situation, you're probably
scenario number three is reserved, like just do exactly what I told France and England what I was going to do is reserved for a time that I feel like there's somebody else over there that might actually have an even better offer later. Okay. Where I just,
so you're almost like, never going to do that.
Well, if I have a good Russian or Turk in the scenario, then maybe I will. But and just like let the Italian dive off the cliff and be like, I'm right behind you, and then just not be behind him. But if I think that there's like, if that's not the case and the Italian is the only guy that's suggesting anything interesting, even if he's lying to me, I might do it.
Okay.
Like, I'll do anything I can to, like, believe that he's in on it because I hate this game.
All right. That's an interesting idea. Like, you're mostly... So you're probably not stabbing your ally in this case because you...
Wait, which ally?
You're France. You're probably not stabbing France.
No, I probably am.
No matter what.
Okay. Most of the time, even if like, unless I really think that he's just making it up.
So what you're saying is the rarest scenario for you is letting him is for you to not stab your ally, but go with him on the stab over there.
Yeah.
Which you realize that most people, that's the most appealing one to people.
Yeah.
Where they get everything and the other person gets all the screwed blame. And all the blame.
No, I'd rather be the one who takes all the blame in that situation.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
I would think what, I mean, I don't even know where I would be on this spectrum, but I would think like classically the Machiavellian sort of, that's the scenario they take. Like, oh yeah, no, I'll take your support, but I'm not helping you. I'm not stabbing my ally.
Yeah. Okay. No, not so much me.
Take note, folks at home.
Yeah, right, exactly. put it just a slightly different way. I've probably spent every season for the last four since the game degenerated into this looking for the stab anyway. Like, just by myself.
Okay.
And the fact that all of a sudden somebody on the other side of the board that I've been fighting comes to me with something that might work.
Because I'm you're in a desert and you just got in a canteen of water, you're drinking out of it.
Exactly.
You're not smelling it first. Exactly. You're not like, okay, is this full of pee? Is this full of, I don't know
might
what it's
full blah, of blah, 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 blah. Really might be full of pee.
don't care. Just drink it.
40%. Yeah. That's all I need. 40% not pee.
Well, we really bathroom humor this episode.
Yeah, yeah, really took it up.
All right, so let's
all right, one more. Gosh, this is yeah, this is working.
Well, yeah, no, I thought we still have
one more.
Good idea.
Oh, it was your idea.
I know.
Way to go, you.
Yay!
Okay, I'm taking this one from an actual game that I was actually on, because it's one that I've... And it's kind of similar to the first one, but...
I don't know, it'll bookend nicely. Was I on this board?
You might have been.
Oh, great. Excellent.
If so, you were completely not any factor in what happened to the... God, this is awkward. I'd forgotten that you might have been on the...
I won't remember it, so it doesn't matter.
Cool. It was in fact, at Worlds in Vancouver in 2007.
Oh, definitely won't remember.
Definitely not going to remember this. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you're Russia.
Okay.
It's been an eventful early game.
It was a dark and stormy night.
With some stabs and some unstabs and some things that have happened, but basically probably by end of 02 or so, you've realized that your real ally all along was the Italian.
And
he's a good guy, someone you've never met before, somebody you're really liking working with. Like, this is great. We are killing it, and it just turns out our personalities are working well together, and everything's going okay. Consequently, like, because you work so well together, and just because you have, like, this really easy way of, like, let's do this, okay, let's do this, yeah, let's do this. Austria and Turkey just turn into goo.
Okay.
Like, just gone off the board, and you guys are both big at this point, like, you know, 9, 10, da, 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 da.
Sure.
And you're in that situation, not an uncommon situation, where the English player, very good player, somebody that you've played a lot of games with, had some alliances, had some battles, that
sure.
kind of thing, he's doing well on his side of the board, but kind of knows you're getting big, and you kind of know he's getting big, and he kind of knows you're doing better. You know, in other words, he kind of knows that at some point he's going to have to convince you to stab your Italian ally, or he's next.
Right.
He knows it. You know it. You know he knows it. And Italy
right. The only
knows
person
it.
That no, okay, Italy does know it. Italy.
Well.
It doesn't really matter.
I see you're probably, like, you maybe haven't talked to the Italian about that a ton,
sure.
But I think he just takes for granted that your alliance is going so incredibly well
okay.
that you're probably just going to go attack the English guy next, which would be the logical thing to do there if you wanted to just keep the thing going, that like
right.
the good alliance going.
Yeah, the middle isn't the next step. It turns yeah, out it's the English.
You literally are down to two neighbors. There are two right. people with pieces that border you anymore, and it's England and Italy. Just to, not
okay.
to put too fine a point on it, but that's what the
okay.
game is. Yeah.
Isn't this the game you were just saying was terrible?
This was a terrible game.
Okay.
okay. Only because I did it wrong.
Okay, okay.
At this point.
Okay.
Okay. Now, we're reiterating that the English guy is a good player and he knows what's up.
Okay.
He's really been making his effort. He's been spending the time.
I'm England in this, aren't I?
No, you're not England. You're Russia. Sorry. Oh, yeah, in real life. No, no, no. I'll tell you if you want.
No.
So it's somebody, and I don't even know if he remembers this or not, but I sure as hell do. So he really has been putting in the time to the English guy has been putting in the time to be like, well, I know you got to stab somebody. It shouldn't be me, and here's why. You can do this, you can do this, you can do this. We've been working well together, too. If you stab, you can have this great day. Like, he's really...
Yeah, he's
like,
selling it. That's what he's spending
he's
his time.
He's selling it. He's taking making the extra effort. He's not just like, meh, Russia, whatever. Like, he's really making the effort. You're basically... Well... Okay. Why not? At this point, you love your alliance with the Italian so much that you actually, your inclination is just to go after the English guy anyway.
Sure.
What hasn't crossed your mind at any point during this entire thought process is that what if Italy stabbed you?
Right.
Ooh,
maybe,
that'd be bad.
Maybe England has been doing the exact same thing to the Italian all the time.
Right.
For example.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
So then... say 1 minute before we'll put the clock as the kind of clock that beeps, but you don't have to have written any orders when it beeps. You just have to stop negotiating, okay?
Oh, okay. So order writing time. How exciting.
So, yeah. You've got your order writing time coming up in 1 minute, and you've written zero orders yet, because you're really just completely engaged in this diplomacy with all of, a couple of these players. The English guy comes up to you, looks you straight in the eye, and says, Italy is coming now. He just told me he is stabbing you right this second. You've got 30 seconds, maybe not even a minute, but, you know, to be like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. No, he just told me. He told me he's doing this, he's doing this, he's doing that. Beep, 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 beep.
Sorry, we can't talk anymore.
Yeah. You've got to sit down and write orders.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
No, this is... I've been in this situation before. Well, my considerations... if I'm in this situation, my considerations are going to be immediately... What was my last interaction with this particular guy? I'm just going to... I'm going to start thinking about... Okay, was there anything different? Because my...
Which guy?
The Italian.
Okay.
My ally.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to start from a point of, I think the English player's lying to me. That's where I'm starting from.
Okay.
Because I've experienced this before. It's unlikely that, I mean, possible, but unlikely that the English player chose the very end of the negotiation period.
Mm-hmm.
At random.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlikely that he finished a conversation with the Italian and scampered over and to give me this information. One, if he actually did do that, the Italian is probably not going to follow through with it, because the Italian is going to be watching. So, I mean, the English strategically has given me this information. The question is it giving me strategically because he just revealing this earlier would tip the hand or not? And that's,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying that's going to be my consideration. I'm going to be thinking about my interactions with the Italian in this particular round, and comparing them to some of our very successful rounds. Was it different? Did it feel wrong? Was it just perfunctory? Did he spend a lot more time talking to England? Like, I'm going to have to try and convince myself that the English are being honest here. Why? I'm going to need to have some sort of evidence that this isn't just something that they just told me. Then I'm going to look at the board. I'm going to look at the board and say, okay, well, let's, for the benefit of the doubt, maybe I came to a conclusion, maybe I didn't. But I'm still going to look at the board and go, okay, well, what's the worst that could happen here? Is there a way I could mitigate damage that wouldn't really... affect anything? Is there stuff that's just sitting around?
Let's say it's pretty bad. let's say if you do nothing, you're losing to and all position, and in fact, maybe even to escalate it a little bit, because this is actually how it happened in real life. If England was telling you the truth and Italy is coming at you, and you do like the best anti-Italy moves, it's probably like you might actually take one off Italy if he was coming after you and just was counting on you not noticing it. If he wasn't actually coming after you, you might take three.
Okay. I would look at the board and consider,
and it's full.
Yeah, it's full. Yeah. And I would consider this is actually surprisingly similar to what we had talked about earlier, because my instinct is not to stab, it's to defend if I can without breaking any momentum, because I have a real aversion to that particular thing. Oh, he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with somebody that I've talked to over and over and I haven't gotten anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I have a real aversion to that. My go-to is going to be, okay, well, let's see. It's going to be real bad if I don't do anything. So I'm going to shift some stuff around that's defensive that I can plausibly say, like, hey, you know what? We can move it back. We can move it around. I didn't take anything. I just defended myself just in case you were coming. I got some late intel. I didn't believe it, but I wanted to make sure, you know, I'm glad this is a great. This is great that now I know that this person is totally lying to me.
Yeah.
That's where I'm likely to be going if I look back on it and I just let myself spiral. Like, okay, he was really weird. He was really weird when we talked. He didn't want to commit to anything. He just, unlike other times, he was just like, yeah, well, maybe let's just do that next. I mean, I know it's fall, but we can't get anything. And just sort of was odd.
Yeah.
It's possible that it'll just click for me. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, you know what? He was really odd. And that is really weird. And wow, he can really stab me right here. And why have I not been paying attention to this? Has they even just been kind of leading me on? And then if that's the case, if I can convince myself, it's going to take me convincing myself that he's coming. I have to have a lot of facts to do it and then go. What I'm probably going to end up doing is being a little defensive and continuing to push on things on the,
okay,
on the push.
I guess I would say the one thing that, like, it's a little different from the last scenario we talked about where it's okay to be a little bit defensive and then just sort of apologize to your ally if it turns out you were wrong to have ever suspected anything. Yeah. The only other thing you might be doing this turn is attacking England, right?
Like, I'm assuming I could still attack England with stuff.
Well, so this is, that's kind of like, in this situation, you might, like, really blunt your attack against the English person if you play a little bit defensive against the Italian.
Oh, okay.
Like, you say, like,
okay,
I'm
so
not trying to make it too contrived or anything, but, like, you can see how that might actually come up in an actual
absolutely.
Game, right? Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to need to be convinced. Is just that, because I, that's my considerations are going to be, what does the board look like? How likely is it that England is trying to save his butt by coming with this, like, left field last second thing, which is a thing that people do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all signs to me point to, England has motivation to do it. The Italian has motivation to stick with me. The Italian has, I've worked with the Italian this entire game. Stabbing's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard, especially this late in the game. And it sounds like from what you're saying, England is a real chance of being taken down a notch.
Mm-hmm.
So is this the best time for the Italian to be doing it? Yeah, the Italian could. And that'll be another consideration. Like, how much sense does it make for the Italian to stab? And that I don't even consider people that stab for the sake of stabbing. If you're just going to stab because you want dots, then this relationship's doomed anyway.
Okay.
So I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would say. Well, I'm trying not to. It was a mistake, but not coming up with a hypothetical and coming up with something that actually happened to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, like, my feeling at the time as that Russian was that if I stuck with Italy and Italy stuck with me, we had a great game ahead of us.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just really wanted what England said at that moment not to be true. Yeah, because if it was true, then, like, I literally hadn't even considered it.
Yeah,
until that moment.
So you got run in on, basically.
Oh, shit, that could be really bad, was what I was thinking. Are you asking what actually
happened? Yeah.
England was totally lying. England was Andy Bartle. I literally just sat there.
You bought it.
I bought it hook, line, and sinker and just sat there.
I remember this story.
And that guy
was brokenhearted and you could never repair it.
I was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he and Andy, like, and you didn't even have the heart to fight anymore. He was just like,
at some point I ended up, like, throwing dots to Andy in despair or something like that. I can't remember. I just melted down in that game. I was at like 10 and then I was at 0 and it was the moment in that game when that happened. And it was Andy Bartoloni as the England. And it just, I sat there for that 30 seconds that I had to contemplate that, and it just seemed so out of left field that it had to be true.
Yeah.
Somehow I talked myself into that. I was like, there's just, like, it wasn't that he just sold it all that well or anything, but it just, I puzzled it out, and I was like, why would he even try that?
You just double faked it. Like,
so right.
It's so dumb, it has to be true.
It's so dumb, it has to be true, is what I talked myself into. It's like, it would just be so insanely ballsy after, like, all of this, like, really lovey-dovey, like, trying to get me to do stuff because we're buddies type line that he had taken with me up until then, to all of a sudden just be like, I'm going to try something that's totally
dirty.
Different.
That's dirty.
Super dirty. It super worked, and I just melted down. I may have cried in that game, as I melted down.
That was a great tournament.
And
too,
Don Williams was the Italy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Don Williams.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
The end of that story. But, so yeah, what I thought was interesting about it was, like, that's a game that people play.
Yep.
The He's Coming game. I've never had it played on me quite that way before, yeah. Where in some way where I just talked myself into, like, it's so ridiculous, it's got to be true.
Yeah.
It doesn't got to be true. People try shit.
Yeah.
Right?
And, yeah, and I think...
And you
I
have think a much been, more measured response.
Well, I've been burned by it.
I don't think...
You would have a measured response now, too.
Yeah.
You know, I've just been burned by it a couple of times. I'm like, yeah, nope, learn that lesson. Don't jump to... Because... It's the timing. It's just so suspect to me. Like,
the timing was super sketchy.
Like, 30 seconds left? You couldn't have told me this earlier. Now's the time you're telling me. And you're telling me all urgently, and then you give me that whole, we're out of time. Sorry.
I like to tell myself that maybe I'd just seen Andy and Don talking to each other, and Andy rushed me urgently with Don looking another direction. And that's probably not true, though. I was probably just exhausted, not paying any attention by that point. But
yeah, it's probably not true. Anyway, that was super fun.
That was fun.
So that was
a good idea.
Guys, if you have any opinions about these particular scenarios that we've talked about, any nuances that you'd like to add, any tweaks that you'd like to the scenario, just leave them on the Facebook, send us an email. We'll talk about them more. We might do this again sometime in the future, not next episode, but this is a fun little puzzle to do. I like hearing what Eric has to say after all these years. Still stuff I don't know about this guy. So,
definitely.
Yeah,
diplomatic surprises. And we'll take them if you guys want to write them too.
Oh, absolutely.
Then we can both do them and not have any idea what you were thinking.
If you have a scenario that you were in, you can just give us real life scenarios that you were in. We've had those before. It's best if they're not tactical, because those we tend to answer those quickly. Like, we want something that, like, sort of a brain tease. Like, okay, well, I need to consider this. I need to consider that.
What's convoying to Tuscany?
It's
the psychology ones.
Send us a map. Don't want that at all. So yeah, I guess we should talk to somebody else about a scenario that they've been in before. Maybe we can ask Siobhan.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That sounded weird the way that you put it, but yeah, here we go.
Here we go.
Siobhan, here we go next.
Scenario.
Yeah.
Go.
Now, this is Sean Nolan joining us from the Greater Bay Area somewhere. I nailed that one.
This is the best introduction. I love it.
You have no idea where I live, do you?
No, Burbank. Burbank, California. You live on a movie set.
Yeah.
Just like everybody in California does.
Hi, Sean. San Jose.
Or San Jose.
San Jose.
Is that near Comic Sans? Or that's a place down there, right?
No, it's near San Serif.
Down the 101. Well, thanks so much for coming on. That's nice of you.
It's a little too early for this, but, you know, coffee.
It's never too early.
9:30 in the morning, you know, so that we can accommodate your times. Oh, no, wait, we're all on the West Coast, and for some reason we're still doing this.
Yeah.
No, we're not smart. We're not the smartest people.
No.
Good. No, but thanks for coming on. We have a couple of things to talk to you about, and wanted to start out with, a little bit more about you.
So this is like, this is like one of those, remember on the Colbert Report, they used to do the Better Noah. Whatever. This is just a Better Know a Diplomacy Player.
Yeah, I like
this
that.
Part one in our 110-part series, Better Know a Diplomacy Player with Siobhan Nolan.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Yeah, so yeah. So how did it, I think we know some of the story, but not everybody does. So how did you get into this?
Yeah, you have an interesting story about getting into diplomacy.
Yeah. So the short version of the long story, and it was also sort of in the Grantland article,
right.
Which was that last year?
Yeah.
But he kind of got it wrong, but that's a whole different story. So I was like 13 or 14. I guess that was like 15 years ago. Oh my God. I was wandering around a game convention and Eddie Bresson, of course, was trying to get a diplomacy game going. And he looks over at me and he says, "You're not doing anything, so you're going to play this now."
Okay.
And I said, "Okay." And I went on to win the first tournament I played in. And that was the height of my hobby. And it's all been downhill.
But you know, it's good that you have that.
Yes.
So you have that. I mean, a lot of us don't have that.
And in addition to Eddie Bresson, I don't know if we know anyone else that was there, but I'm sure you still see some of them sometimes, and you get to go, ha 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 ha, you got beat by a 13-year-old girl.
Well, one of the people who was there was Adam Siegel.
Ah, brilliant.
So
brilliant.
I will always have that.
Yes. Remember that time you lost a tournament to a 13-year-old girl?
Even though you were like 14, so yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
So he got better since then, and I didn't.
Mm. No, you got better too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just haven't won any tournaments.
Yeah, fair. No, but no, you guys haven't either, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's very valid. Yeah. Thanks for.
So I mean, that's the story.
This is a positive group.
Yeah,
you suck. No, you suck more.
Sean Connery, thank you.
Exactly.
So, you may also know Siobhan from pretending to be, I forget, one or the other of us. In was it, were you me?
I think
you
I was
me?
You. Yeah, I think I was.
Yeah.
You.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just had to get it.
Yeah.
I tried to turn you into Erica, but Chris wasn't going for it.
It was better to just be like, "And I'm Eric Mead."
Yes.
Just yeah.
So you got into the game.
Yes.
You won the first tournament. What was that? I don't know. What was that like? Would you got at the end? I mean, clearly you won, so that's always nice. That's affirming. You're like, okay, well, I like winning.
Yeah.
But other than that, was it like, oh, I'm going to do this again? Or, I mean,
I played at, you know, the local cons that were around. Eddie was at the time running a tournament at basically every game convention that we had around here. And if you know anything about Eddie, he will email you mercilessly.
Yeah.
Until you just start showing up to these things.
Love it.
So started with that, then got into some house games. At the time, whipping was still going on in San Francisco. Well, I mean, a few years later, I think. So went to that, met a lot of the travelers in the hobby, and then one or the other of you talked me into flying up to Seattle one year.
Sounds like something Nathan would
that
do.
Sounds like,
yeah,
that sounds like-
I think I was 18 or 19, and I flew up to Seattle and stayed in a room full of snoring and disgusting men, and
that sounds more like something I'd do.
You're like, no.
I took care of your lodging. What?
It's like, no, totally. I have a room for you. Don't worry about it. It's all cool. And then, I mean, you did get me in bed. To be fair,
yeah,
I wasn't just like stuck it. But yeah, so
yeah.
That's how I started traveling, and then WAC ended, and that was sad, and so I had to travel other places.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So as part of like a crop of teenagers that Eddie Bresson taught to play it, to try and just build the hobby around where he happened to live.
Yeah.
Like he has a 40-mile area of effect radius.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They call it his range.
Right, his range. Yeah, yes. Exactly. So, I mean, some of them we probably know and have had on the show before. Some of them probably got bored of diplomacy and trailed off. Some of them probably weren't teenagers at all, but
yeah.
Grown-ups.
Yeah. Mostly grown-ups, actually. I mean, Eddie always tried with the younger crowd. And, you know, I mentioned Adam Siegel before. I don't think he's been on the show.
He has.
Oh, has he? Okay.
He won something or other, so we had to.
Yeah, freaking guy.
Oh, yeah. Love
him. I think we tried with our friends a few times to get house games together, but nobody was really into it. It's sort of like, why are you going to spend 8 hours sitting around a board?
Because I have a mental problem.
Because we have many problems. That's exactly why. But and then he moved away, and now he's part of the East Coast hobby, and I'm alone over here. Being sad and having to fly across the country. So
not a ton of house game stuff going on in your area, right?
We've got a meetup group going. Okay. Other people are mostly taking the lead on that.
Yeah.
And you just bought a house, and so I'm just going to throw out that
I did just buy a house, and so my brain is basically scrambled in, oh my God, house stuff, everything.
Yeah, the house game. Just say
it. House game. It is large enough to do a house game, because the apartment we're living in right now would be terrible. So, but yeah, we do have a meetup group in the Bay Area. If anybody out there is listening, anybody who plays web diplomacy, email, whatever, check it out, Bay Area Diplomacy Association. They're pretty good about getting a game about once a month. It's a cool group of guys. Mm-hmm. They're awesome. Please help us rebuild the hobby, because I think that's somebody's goal eventually out here.
Yeah.
So,
and it's that sort of single-mindedness and drive that's really keeping the hobby going.
Yeah, well, you know, Eddie got busy, and he's not doing much anymore, and, you know.
Silverman's not doing anything anymore.
Oh, he's down in San Diego now, so he's doing his thing down there.
Oh, that's good.
And so it's basically me and Andy Hull.
You're more of my school of thought on this. Like, your heart's more after me. Like, I really hope that somebody does that work. It ain't me.
And then hopefully I can take credit for it later. And
School of thought.
It's a natural consequence of my mental condition.
I think they call that borderline apathy.
I was going to say,
Here's my school of thought. I really hope
that someone else. I do a thing. We make shows.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Yeah.
You do a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm doing a thing now. That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah. This is your contribution to the hobby.
Okay. So you've enjoyed the traveling. How's that been? You mentioned a room full of disgusting guys that you were staying.
Yes.
Right.
I fortunately am gainfully employed now and can afford my own room and don't have to do that. There are no never-ending offers of, oh, of course we can share a room, and not like creepy, like weird offers, but just, and it's just sort of like, I've heard you snoring and I don't need to hear that ever again, so I'm just going to pay for my own room now because I actually have money.
It's a weird thing. I'm gonna start using this money stuff.
So I frequently, a couple times a year, fly across the country to push wooden blocks around a board and attempt to explain that to my coworkers and my boss when I request time off, and they stare at me like I'm crazy. And,
They're just uninitiated.
Yes.
I guess there's some kind of a question hiding in there somewhere of, like, you don't exactly fit the typical demographic of the traveling hobby person, being, like, some dude in their 30s or 40s with, like, you know, like a lawyer or a sales job or something like that. You've always been younger than most of us and that sort of thing. So
it'd be great if you could stop doing that, by the way. Yeah, you could maybe catch up.
I am working on getting older. I will be in my 30s next year.
Yeah, that's a good point. But still, you've been at this for, well, what, like 10, 12 years now, like just that part of it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's cool. What's the allure to you, given that you don't exactly fit the typical mold?
Well, for the most part, most of y'all are awesome. There's always exceptions to the rule. But, you know, for the most part, it's the people. People have said this in the past, but, I mean, the people keep me coming back. I'm clearly not that good at this game. I mean, good enough, but
I like that. I'm clearly terrible.
Well, you're having me on the show, so
good enough to be a star per day.
Yeah, you're definitely. Yeah, there's tons of people we haven't had on the show yet.
Yeah.
You made it before we got to the 40th episode, so that's top tier there.
Yeah. I'm just top that tier. Important.
Yeah, top
no,
tier.
But I mean, I'm getting better, I think. I hope.
She is playing herself down a little bit. For those of you listening at home, she can kick a little bit of ass on her diplomacy board. Yes. I have witnessed it.
Yes. So
so you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. You're ruining my whole shtick.
I'm a sweet little girl who's terrible at this game, please.
Right.
That used to work. That was a lovely tactic. I have no idea what I'm doing, please.
You would take on a slightly southern, like a little southern lilt.
Yeah.
No, I do declare.
Mercy, so many pieces of the papers.
That was about a year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and with some people it never worked because they were just, it didn't matter. Yeah. But, you know, so what was the question I was supposed to be answering?
I don't know. We just kind of want to get your, you know, for... Not just that you're a lady,
yes,
but that you're younger and that you're not in a particular mold. And I think Eric was just asking what keeps you coming back. He had a great answer, you know, to the people. And I think, you know, the only way to just curious I mean, on my part, like, it always fascinates me, like, because I go to tournaments sometimes and I'm like, you know, maybe I'll not do this right now. And why did I spend money on this?
Yeah.
Occasionally it'll hit me because, you know, whatever reason, and I would think, you know, stereotypically that would kind of come up for you. I guess it's just a delicate way of saying that.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
It's happened. I took a break from the hobby some years back. I just kind of had enough of you idiots, I guess. And nothing in particular happened. It was just sort of like, you know, I don't feel like spending $400 on a plane ticket and a hotel room and, and then...
A bucket of gross.
And a bucket of gross, we always keep going back to that.
I guess part of my secret agenda for asking sort of that leading question is that, I've always had this, gosh, diplomacy should have a bigger umbrella kind of a thing. Like, I was, you know, I was much younger than everybody else when I started playing it too. I've just always thought, why does this game not have wider appeal? I mean, I get that some people are never going to get past the fact that we're squatting over a map of Europe and trying to, you know, contemplate little wooden blocks. Sometimes you squat.
No, There's never been a squat session of diplomacy.
Sorry for the verb. But you know what I'm getting at.
Well, I mean, the thing is that, you know, in all honesty, is, you know, if we're talking to other gamers who are used to sitting around for hours doing something that seems arguably pointless, that part shouldn't be so hard to get over. The thing is, and it's been said before, and I'll agree with it, is diplomacy is not for everyone.
Right.
And it probably shouldn't be. I've known people who've, you know, I've tried to get to play and they'll play to be a good sport once or twice and they really fucking hate it and they really fucking hate me for a little bit. Excuse me, I probably shouldn't be saying fuck, but whatever.
No, that's fine. Nobody's taught us doing it yet.
Yeah, so. Fair enough. You know, and it just, it's not for everyone and it doesn't have to be. I do think we as a hobby can become a little less clicky, I guess, is the word for it. We tend to sort of divide into our groups, and we've known each other for 10, 15 years, however long, and, you know, the new people come in, and it's hard to break into that. So that's a bit of a welcoming stance maybe we can take. I don't have any solutions for it. I'm just talking, but...
Yeah. It sort of invites the question about sort of, like, trying to... I've gone back and forth on this a lot in terms of, do we just recruit from gamers and find the ones that happen to like diplomacy versus do we find a way to recruit from like the whole general population of the world who might not otherwise like games?
It's the latter.
Yeah.
It's gotta be the latter.
The former, you mean?
No.
Which one?
I mean the general population.
You do?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Okay.
Because there's so many people that only play diplomacy, A. B, right. Like, gamers have a pretty specific idea what a game should and shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, diplomacy fits almost none of those molds. So that you have people with a preconceived notion of what it's going to be like to play this game, and they're going to buck it. And that the only reason that makes a difference is that your universe of people that you're trying to recruit is smaller with gamers. So you're looking for gamers who will accept diplomacy as opposed to the general population. Okay. I mean, it's just you might have better luck.
Yeah.
But I think the better way of going if you're doing like big recruiting is in the general population. I mean, I could, you know, no, say that with such authority, but I just know so many, I mean, those gamers that, I mean,
yeah,
they're just like, oh, well, this should be a short afternoon, not an entire weekend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
The fools!
Well, I guess for my part, that's what I want to think, too, and that's what I thought for a long time, but now I'm a little bit, like, down on that whole idea, because it does seem like most of the people that we get are already gamers.
And,
any thoughts on appealing to the general public there, Siobhan, since we're just having our own little conversation here?
Oh, no, that's just fine. I mean, appealing to the general public is difficult because if they're not gamers, it's really difficult to convince anyone to sit down for even an hour. and play any sort of board game. I mean, I have friends who are just like, oh, let's play Ticket to Ride. Easy, simple, hour tops board game. And they're just like, that's too complicated.
That's cutting into my drinking time.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
I have some celebrity gossip that I really need to just toss back and forth with you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's the alternative to playing Ticket to Ride.
Yeah.
Not that I was going on some weird, bizarre celebrity gossip tangent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right. I guess we haven't fixed the hobby quite yet.
No,
but you know, we pushed that ball just a little bit further.
That's right.
So, I mean, you know, just to sort of wrap that up after Nathan jumped right in there with that.
Derailed it. Sorry.
It's the problem with enticing the general population is that a lot of them think that this is this nerdy, terrible. Why would you fly across the country and spend an entire weekend doing absolutely nothing in the awesome city that you're in? But, there are certain types of people who diplomacy is good for. Like I was saying, is diplomacy is not for everyone. And you can sort of recognize those personality types if you get to know the person at all. And maybe, just maybe, you can say, hey, simple, easy, casual house game. And then hopefully ease them into it. It has never worked for me. So, I'll just say it.
I want to say that worked once for me, and that man was Jake Mannix.
Yeah.
Oh, Mannix.
Yeah.
So
he still has a copy of the game that is mine that I need to get back from him.
Yeah.
I think he's had it for 2015.
Yeah.
He's had it for probably 8 years.
That story that definitely checks out.
Yeah.
I'm very unsurprised by that.
Yeah.
So one thing we in the show earlier we were talking about these different scenarios, and we sort of being, hey, Eric, here's a scenario, and tell me what you think, and did that back and forth. And we kind of wanted to try it out on you, or at least get your opinions.
Yeah, it was kind of more of a psychology discussion. Like, we were trying to, it's not a deep tactics thing or anything.
Yeah,
we were just trying to create some sort of, situations on the board where, there's two good answers or three good answers or whatever, and just kind of see what the other one of us, how we'd go about reasoning out what we were going to do next, kind of
what's going through your head when you're presented with this
exactly
scenario.
what are the things that it depends on for you. You seem like a good person to ask this stuff, just because I feel like when we played before, you kind of have a feel approach to the game
a lot more feel than it is actual tactics for me.
Mine too, so
we're just sort of blindly grouping it. Let's not use that word.
Yeah, no. Actually, yeah, that's, we can't use it. We're going to edit that
thank
out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
We're totally not.
Yeah, anyway, so let's do it.
Why don't you do it?
Right, I'll go first. It's a simple one because it's a pre-spring 1901 one.
Okay.
All right, your turkey.
Joy.
And your turkey. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
You don't want to be turkey. Go on another show. No, you're turkey.
Okay, I'm turkey.
You kind of go walk around and do all your opening negotiations with all your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And the Italy goes standard. Austria goes standard. They're kind of, hey, we'll wait and see. Hey
let's, someone else will do something.
Yeah, exactly. Russia, for whatever reason, you feel really good about it.
All right.
Russia is we're doing this, and for whatever reason, you totally believe the Russian. Let's say the Russians say me.
Oh God, that would never.
Okay, please don't ruin the scenario.
No, let's not say it's me. But let's just say that it goes super well.
Okay.
And they just want to do the super straightforward juggernauty thing where they're let's neither of us go to the Black Sea. I'm gonna go to Romania with my fleet now. You should go to Constantinople so you can sail out to the Aegean right now. And we'll just do a thing.
Lock and load, ready to go.
No need to be secret for whatever reason. Let's just do this.
Okay.
Now at this point, you feel like you kind of can choose because you can do this, or since you feel so sure that the Russian is on board for his or her part of it, the other thing that you can do in this case is be a total bastard and go to the Black Sea and you'll get it, and you can move your other army to Armenia and you'll get it, and Russia will be in deep, deep trouble, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess, the question is which do I choose?
Well,
under, like, is there one of those that you'd never choose? Is there one of those that's on the menu 0% of the time?
Nothing's ever a 0% possibility for me.
So then really the question is, like, what do you base your decision on?
What are you thinking?
Like, what are the kind of questions?
What are you weighing?
Yeah.
I think it depends who's on the board. Mm-hmm. It depends, you know, Austria and Italy, it depends whether or not they're good players. It depends whether or not they're newbies, because I feel a little bad. Yeah. I feel a little bad every time steamrolling a newbie. Can't say I haven't done it. Can't say I haven't suggested it and made it happen, even though it wasn't directly my fault that it happened on a board.
And we'll say you're at a tournament.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. The Juggernaut's a little boring for me.
Okay.
I don't like boring. Like I said, it depends on who else is on the board. If I feel like that's my best chance for survival, sure. But if I feel like I can sort of manage the other side of the board and not let anything too stupid occur, you know, like an EF or a, I don't even know what is going on over there. If I can control that, then maybe, yeah, I'll stab him and cause some chaos. It depends. It's all about the people. That's my problem.
Yeah. Well, right. And that's what it's supposed to be, is all about the people.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I guess one thing I took from that is that, like, if Austria and Italy are basically good players.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got, like, I don't know, let's say Chris Martin and, I don't know, pick someone else. Say there are two Chris Martins over there.
Fine. Then, Chris and Eddie.
Yeah. Sorry, thank you for that nightmare.
Yeah.
That's what I needed. That's what I needed.
Two Chris Martins.
There's
in the
six
world.
Other Chris Martins than you.
Yeah.
No. Then I just roll over and die. That's pretty much what happens in that scenario.
It's faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why even bother? No, say it's Chris Martin and Eddie, and I'm just. You can't manage that situation, and your best hope sometimes is just killing it as quickly as possible.
Okay.
If you can, which usually ends up with me dying, but
so then you're doing the Juggernaut in that case just to try and, like, head off whatever horribleness they were going to do.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, but, you know, if I feel like the rest of the board is manageable, I will probably stab and have fun with it, because why not?
Okay.
So given all things being equal, you would go with the stab because it's not boring.
Yeah. I don't like boring. I don't like standard moves. I don't like, you know, that boring 0-1 where everyone just does exactly what you expect. And, you know, sometimes there's a bounce in the Black Sea. Sometimes there isn't. And every time they're like, oh, my God, you went to the Black Sea. How could you do that? It fools no one.
Exactly.
You know, save it.
And when nobody goes to the Black Sea, sometimes there's, like, some raised eyebrows, like,
that's how this game is going to go.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, all dirty, all right?
I mean, not to segue too long, but, yeah, I feel like so much of the first couple of years of board talk, when everyone's around the board, is just so much posturing. I hear the same things, game in, game out. I'm just like, okay, you know what? Let's stop talking about, oh my God, he didn't bounce him out of Sweden, how dare he, or, you know, nobody's shocked by any of this, everybody knows what's going on, every time I just want to roll my eyes and smack someone, because I've heard it all before.
I love that,
yeah.
So
usually
your
roll my
tournament
eyes.
Just save the Kabuki Theater, because everybody is just over it.
I mean, like, save it for the newbies, it'll fool them, like, I mean, if there's a newbie on the board, I understand exactly why everyone does it, and I jump right in and do it myself, but, you know, when we've been playing this game together for this many years, at this point it's just like, you know what, shut up.
Can I? Oh man, I want to make sure. I want to put together a board just to see it. Shut up. that would be quite a bit like that.
We're kind of running a little tight on time. Do you have time for one more of this?
Oh yeah, I got time.
You good? Okay. All right.
This one's a little bit more complicated. It's more mid game.
Okay.
So you're having a really great game, and that it has evolved into a six way with three big powers on either side. It doesn't much matter who the powers are.
Okay.
Somebody in the east got cut out.
Okay, I'm going to make it turkey because I don't like turkey.
Okay, great, it's turkey. You're, let's just say, Germany, and you guys, the line is locked. There's a little bit of movement, but really somebody needs to flip in order for this game to go forward.
Well, obviously the game isn't probably going to end in this way, unless it does, but
I mean, it could.
It
but,
could.
You know,
there are times it does, and I hate that, so let's...
Yeah. Right.
Somebody needs to flip. Yeah.
Somebody needs to flip.
Okay.
So, for whatever reason, your compatriots have made you the person that has to go do the flipping. And they're just sort of, they're EF, they're back there, and they basically said, you go flip somebody, and if you turn on us, we're going to, you know, just dedicate ourselves to eliminating you. That's what's going to happen if you flip on us.
Yeah, so basically your allies are, I think we said before, your allies are people with Asperger's.
Yeah, exactly.
All
they're
really
irrational.
Interested in is, like, the tactics, and you're sort of hostage in this alliance.
So you, okay,
you're the only one that's doing
any of
the
let me finish.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then you've managed to find somebody to flip, and they're going to flip, and you're looking at it, and it's a good flip. If you guys go... You will be crippling both sides pretty well, but he's definitely doing the thing where you need to go, you need to stab at the same time, you need to do all that, and then once you do that, you have an EF that is going to dedicate the rest of the game to stabbing you. So,
yeah, but you probably managed to hurt France.
Yeah, you probably managed to.
Yeah.
So the question really is, okay, you could either do the stab or not to the stab and just rush in on the other side. Because if you don't go with the scenario you presented, you could just break the other alliance because the other person thinks...
Yeah, well, really there's three options. You could, do the stab... Well, I don't know, maybe even four. You could do the stab and find out that the other guy kept his word and did his part of the stab, too.
Yep.
You could do the stab and find out that he didn't do that.
Yep.
You could not do the stab and find out he didn't either, which is a boring one, and we'll throw that one out.
Yeah.
You could not do the stab and find out that he did.
Yeah.
So, I guess
it's basically, do you go with the guy and flip against your alliance in the stab, or do you let that other guy... do his stab while you do something that continues to impress your three-way. Do you keep the three-way, or do you stab through?
And again, we're not going to tell you whether you trust the guy. Like, if that's like, you know, if that's something you're going to contemplate, that's kind of what we want to know.
Sorry, it's a little complicated. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I mean, I think I flipped too.
Okay.
So if you've got
somebody on the line that's willing to flip on their alliance, you flip on yours as well.
Yeah. And arguably because eventually someone's getting cut out of three-way anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Two, if EF is really being that boring, I guess Asperger's was the...
Yeah.
I mean, if they're really going to be like, I'm going to do nothing but kill you now because you, I don't know, one-dotted me for something... Like, hopefully it's better than a one dot. It just, at some point, if the stab's there and it's good enough and we've just been slogging our way, two, three ways set up along the stalemate lines,
mm-hmm.
why not take Italy and do something fun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're hoping that he was telling you the truth, but you don't really care.
Hopefully I believe him, and hopefully I trust him, and hopefully he's as tired of this, you know, let's just hold the stalemate lines, you know, BS. And hopefully when it's all said and done, I can go to the other side and say, see, look, I stabbed my allies. And he can go to France and say, see, look, I eased up in the Mediterranean, and you don't have to worry about me, so you can go attack her, and now we can work together, and, you know. Hopefully we can work something out.
You said the exact same thing I said, and for the exact same reason on that, and it kind of blew Nathan's mind when I said it, because I was like, yeah, I don't really care if Italy's telling me the truth or not. I said, give me 40%.
Yeah.
If I have 40% confidence that he's actually going to do it, that's plenty.
I might wait for about 60%, but yeah.
just toss your alliance aside at basically a drop of the hat. You don't really need a huge amount of confidence. You're just like, meh, I built this alliance, but I'm bored.
You're miserable because you're on pace to be heading toward a six-way draw with two guys that aren't interested in doing any negotiation whatsoever and are actively threatening you in the event that you could ever break.
But you could break the other side.
Right.
And then continue with your alliance, and then at a later time, reevaluate.
Right.
Yeah, but that's...
Like, I just like that that's not an option. You can't say that. You just, yeah, I'm changing horses. Yeah. I'm done.
No.
You put me in this scenario. I'm out.
This is, you put me in this scenario. In all fairness, you did.
Right. You're just like, hey guys that we built this whole stalemate line with, I am done because you are boring.
Because we reached the stalemate line, and nope.
And I'm Germany, and you're basically going to crush me. So, I mean, like that is part of it. I get that. But
I mean, if I'm like France, probably not.
Yeah.
But, you know, in all fairness, this makes me sound terrible. I am an alliance player. I do. And I generally tend to stick with them longer than I should. Mm-hmm. And I end up being stabbed instead of doing the stabbing because I don't plan ahead. And
right.
But that's something I'm working on. You know?
But in that scenario, it's like, I mean, okay, that's not an alliance, that's an abomination.
Yeah, it's more like an indentured servitude, really, exactly. Is what it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, you're there kind of because you have to be, and whatever happened at the beginning of the game that, you know, made what one of my least favorite alliances exist, the Western Triple, I hate it. Yeah. It's, you know, and it's... I mean, did I at least get 3 the first year? Like,
yeah,
there you go.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what you got to do.
Yes, and you've been at 6 ever since.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And all the other players on the board are Dave Maletsky.
Well, then it's a win-win no matter what you do. That's awesome. Oh, I have to stab. Can I stab them all? Is that an option?
Dave Maletsky has agreed to stab Dave Maletsky, but only if you stab Dave Maletsky first.
Well, that's a clown car board. So anyway, what else? That's basically what the cover our closing question.
Okay.
What we wanted to chat about. What else you got, or you want to talk about, or you've got this platform that we're allowing you access to all these folks, and if there's anything you want to say or
I know, I'm like super fascinated. I mean, you know, it's most of y'all are awesome, and I appreciate that, so thanks. Any of you who are at Ultimate Whack heard my, you know, lovely drunken
the bridesmaid speech.
Yeah, that's right. It was a good speech.
It was a good one.
Learned, never drink an entire bottle of wine by yourself at an event.
I have a wine.
Do you mean stopping after the first bottle? Is that the lesson?
Well, let's be honest, we bar crawled before. It was just bad.
It was a long day.
You know, I'm not a scary person. People are terrified of me because I'm, well, a woman sometimes, and they don't talk to me, and that's sad, and you know, I'm cool. I'm just a person. I play this game. You know, I'm not some sort of like little novelty piece that's just over in the corner. Like, I'm not the token woman. There we go.
No, that's really not. Just a human being that really, really likes diplomacy for whatever ungodly reason.
We don't really have good reason either.
We tried to drill down into that during this interview. I don't feel like we've got an answer about why she likes this game. Yeah,
don't know. I keep asking myself that. And every tournament, I swear I'm never coming back. I'm never playing again. You know, I'm not that good at this. Well, why the hell am I doing this? Why did I just pay $500? I need to buy my tickets for Philly, actually. But
me too.
Are you going?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. It'll be a last-second decision if you do, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah, like everyone.
Yeah, so...
All right, so then what's your biggest mistake / regret / story that you want to share with us?
Okay, it was a mistake. I want this on the record that it was a mistake. For the life of me, I've tried to remember over the years who was involved in this story, but I can't, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
So I'm on a board. I'm playing Austria. Absolute favorite country. Everybody else hates it, which I never understood why. But
Austria.
And we're in mid-game, and I'm slogging along, fighting. I think I've taken out Italy by now, and I think I'm fighting France, and I'm talking to someone on the board, and I write down an order for one of the French fleets, and I'm like, you know, I know he's never going to do it, but it would be really great if he just moved out of the Tyrrhenian and into, I don't know, back to Marseille. I don't really care where he goes.
I think I see where this is going.
And I'm just, you know, I'm like, I know it's never going to happen, but hey, see what you can do. We're like, I don't know. And I accidentally leave it on my order pad and write my orders underneath it. And the orders get read, and somebody moves his fleet in the Tyrrhenian, And I'm not there because I've gone to the bathroom. So I can't even arguably say, oh, and so it gets around to his orders, and he's like, and he's ordered Tyrrhenian Sea to do something, and he's like, and you know, everyone on the board is like, oh, there's nothing in the Tyrrhenian Sea. He's like, really? Did I just...
Disorder? Oh.
And the game turns around. And I steamroll. And I, about, like, two moves later, I'm like, oh, shit.
Awkward.
Yeah, and so we're... Post-game, I topped that board. I didn't solo or anything, but I topped that board, and it was pretty good.
Because that would have been rude.
At that point, I felt a little guilty. I really did. And so we're sitting around afterwards, eating lunch, having drinks, I don't even know what. And he's talking, and he's just like, you know, I don't understand. I mean, I had that line. There's no way you could have broken through. And I'm like, yeah, about that.
I just want to let you know a little tactical secret I have. It's called cheating.
So I accidentally cheated, and yeah. So that happened, and it was fun. And
that's awesome.
He was a little pissed, that. And I bought him a few drinks, and I think I bought his lunch, too, because I felt really bad. So,
and, you know, he was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, well, I got some drinks and a sandwich.
Okay. Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Don't let the takeaway from that story be if you...
Bribery works.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, if they accept the bribe, it's all fine. Yeah, yeah. No, in all truth, I don't recommend that as a tactic. Most of the time, people will actually notice and probably get mad.
That's the thing. Like, yeah. it's really on that other person.
Yeah,
because you should have been paying attention to what's going on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not really your fault.
Yeah.
No, that's amazing. No, that's a great story.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh man, I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah.
We kept you 5 minutes over.
Sorry.
Nathan's baby is starting to make angry noises. So
yes.
We're going to wrap it up.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for coming
awesome.
On.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
To you.
We hope that we're going to see you soon and stuff.
I'll be in your area next month and the month after, so we'll talk.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks
guys.
I'll see you soon.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye.
Make a noise, we need a new outro. Come on, Myrna. Come on, Myrna. You're totally not going to do it, are you? Oh my god. She just yawned.
Say something.
Oh. Now I feel bad. For Eric Mead, this is Nathan and Myrna Barnes signing off.
Sad time.